Hey, Lateral with Crowder listener, glad to see you again this week. You had the bonus episode with Dennis Prager. Just wanted to let you know that there might be some visual components to this week's episode that don't make a lot of sense in the audio podcast, namely our Raging Bull parody and a jihadi terrorist lizard who visited us in studio. So you can always head over to CRTV or YouTube. Also, we are currently in a legal battle with the Mr. Rogers, the Fred Rogers estate, over our parody. So listen, if you haven't joined Mug Club, we have Bill Richmond, half Asian lawyer on retainer. We're fighting it and we are winning it. We can always use your support. Also, early fact check, I now know pineapples don't grow on trees, that they are grown closer toward the ground. So before you get mad when you listen, I end up correcting myself at the end of the show, but it's almost like I'm from Canada and didn't know better. Enjoy the show.
And episode 284 is underway, a hard-fought number with countless lawsuits and cease and desist as the Wonder Crowder is still on his feet. Here's the Fred Rogers estate, the Fred Rogers Company. Mr. Rogers, of course, angry about Crowder's parody, looking to try his hand. Oh, boy, the brutality is just unbearable. And, oh, here is the Bob Ross estate. Apparently angry with Crowder's painting, Muhammad administration is now having a go. Oh, and this is just brutal. He's using every illegal tactic in the book. Bogus copyright claims, bogging down the channel, fair use be damned. I tell you, it's a tragedy if the lawyers allow this to go on any longer. Oh, no. It appears to be Mr. YouTube himself. Cenk Uygur of the Young Turks, well known to work directly with YouTube, is looking to take his turn.
Hey, YouTube, you never got me down. You never got me down, YouTube. You never got me down. You never got me down, YouTube. Hey, Mug Club, you never got me down. You never got me down.
Sound of the weekend because it's a Thursday live stream.
Boom.
Once Thursday a week. Live stream. I haven't introduced every you week. Yet. We have great guests. We have Razor Fist. That's Mr. Razor Fist with a zero because he's cool. We have Clint Howard on the show. So Ooh. He's insane. And Owen Benjamin with a song. Should be here. Maybe
Little Diddy.
And of course, producing with me in video studio, as always, is my faithful producer because he's producing Jared, who is not gay. Follow him on Twitter, not gay Jared. Meet us, credit with your thoughts, your comments, your photoshops. I fulfilled my legal obligations as far as I know. Draw your own conclusions. Are we good?
We're good. I appreciate that.
Gerald Morgan, simplifiedwine.com. Apparently, you can order wine and have it shipped to your door, but why would you want to unless you're a raging alcoholic? At G. Morgan Jr., what's the wine of the day?
We've got a Beritage Zinfandel.
You are you more of a bear guy? What, you like the bears?
Well,
I see you hanging out with him in the Folsom Street Fair. Of course, doing overlays is at Sven Computer. How are you, sir?
Hello, Beep Beep. You can follow me on Twitter at Elon Musk. Nope.
Oh, thanks for foreshadowing, Sven. We're going to be talking about Elon Musk today. Everyone wants to talk about the shooting, the tragedy, and this is always sad when it happens. It happens on the show, and then hey, not KJ, I'm over here. He's looking over. Look, you see what he's doing?
He's looking at me.
He's looking at you. He's looking at everyone but me.
I'm beautiful.
It's his show sometimes.
It's because he gets emotionally uncomfortable. You know, you wish. We'll be talking about why Elon Musk sucks. Let me say that because I'm tired of always having to deal with the political mudslinging when it comes to public shootings. But that's, you know, question of the day. Comment below. I genuinely want to hear from you. Do you think that we should do the class act, just mourn those who lost, as we usually would have throughout human history? Or are we beyond the point of, can we no longer afford that? Has the left forced us to fight fire with fire? Do we have to go tit for tat? That's a question I struggle with. Because a lot of the times people go, well, you're doing the same thing. Well, yeah, I am, but that's because they're politicizing the gun control issue before the bodies are even cold.
Wash your hand every time.
I don't know. What do you think?
I think you have to. I hate having to respond to these things like that, but you have to throw logic out there, because if people use emotion to make laws, we're going to end up really screwed in the end.
No, we're going to end up like the United States of America. Okay, here. Jared, you know what? Set a time. We've already done rebuttals with Vox, because they had the biggest anti-gun video for a while with the Young Turks. We've done videos out there on the Second Amendment, whether it's meant just for muskets. They did the same thing with freedom of speech. We've done the gun show loophole. We've done so many videos. We've done so many shows where we've dealt with the Australian gun buyback, the Canadian gun laws that I grew up with. So, you know what? I'm not gonna revisit. Let's recap it, and then we'll be done with it, because I know you're dealing with this on every single other show, and we can move on to why Elon Musk sucks or something else, because I'm tired of the same conversation over and over. Set your timer. Let's go. Assault weapons are not an actual thing. Mass shootings are on the decline. The United States does not actually have the most mass shootings in the world. All pistols are some form of semi-automatic. An AR-15 is actually not a military weapon. States with the United States' stricter gun control laws have not statistically reduced crime. Gun control measures at large have actually proven to be not effective in reducing violent crime. The United States, by the way, does not have the highest violent crime rate in the industrialized world. Most of the statistical gun deaths that you actually read about include suicides. That's something they didn't tell you. Gun, by the way, guns save millions more lives than they ever take, according to the FBI. Anywhere from 200,000 to 3 million. Plus, by the way, none of this matters, because the Second Amendment ensures your right to self-preservation, period, including firearms, period. And yes, that extends beyond muskets to high-capacity guns that were around back then, like the Belt and Flintlock, the Buckle Gun, the Pepperbox Revolver. And by the way, you're an asshole for exploiting this senseless tragedy to try and forcibly strip us of our human rights regardless. Okay, on with the show. Does that about cover it?
I think that's about
you
it.
You pieces of human shit.
If I could stand up and clap right now.
Less than a minute.
That's pretty good.
You can skip the entire CNN Don Lemon.
And we've covered all of that.
We've covered every
watch
single
this
base that you're
where's
gonna
your cover reference, Mr. Internet Skeptic?
Do some research, guys. Then
go yourself. I'm so tired of the gun. What bothers me is the grandstanding, the political grandstanding, the virtue signaling as though they have the moral high ground when their very position is evil. And I mean that. Is it? No, it's evil to disarm law-abiding citizens. People often say, like, what gives you the right? What? Who in the hell do you think you are? Because someone did something bad, you think that you now have the right to strip me of my God-given right to self-defense? That's the problem with people, countries like Europe. Sorry, Sven Computer. That's the problem with countries that don't recognize your rights coming from somewhere else other than the government. Sorry, you get the angry skeptic atheist mad at me. Guess what? The Constitution recognized that rights were bestowed to us. They were bestowed upon us by God, not by government. But these people don't believe that. They think they gave you the rights. That's why they think they can take it away. They think they can tell you you can't defend yourself because something did something mean on a school property. And you know what? It's terrible, and it sucks. And I wish we could just say it's terrible and it sucks. And I wish we could just say, God, what an awful tragedy. Can't we mourn as a nation? And the left talks about coming together and finding common ground. How about you find common ground, shut your mouth, and let the bodies be buried before you push bull legislation that you know won't do anything, and you don't even abide by yourself. All right. In Olympic news,
which the outdoor sign
had to get
church
that out. The Jamaican bobsled team coach has just quit, and she's taking the team sled with her. This comes to us from CBS Sports. The all-female bobsled team was revealed in a series of firsts. That's a big thing. Now, a series of firsts.
Oh, nice.
First female Jamaican bobsled team. Like, come on. But just days before their South Korean debut, Sandra Karisasis. I have it right here. Anyway, a former gold medalist for Germany.
Germany
has to import their bobsled coaches. Twitter post at the helm of the team staff, and she is now threatening to keep the sled, claiming legal ownership. So naturally, this isn't the news. The team's very upset, and apparently they've been issuing veiled threats to their former coach, which has already prompted Disney to purchase the film rights. Bitch, why you running? They didn't, no S.
No S. They just got to lop the right off.
That's the Canadian version.
I think she would have already taken the sled, but she couldn't find a man to push it.
Oh.
You had
it. I guess the muscle. I guess the muscle over here.
Can I get
strong woman. I'm strong female.
You were saying awesome. When asked, I guess you had it in the story, that when they asked the lady.
They asked the lady?
Yeah.
Yeah, she had something to say about her the sled, and she responded, mine.
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 Mine. Mine. Mine. Mine. Mine. The only one not saying it I love is the actual German here.
Yes. Yeah.
In her defense, she only knows two words, mine and Juden. So she is pretty.
That's weird.
Wow. Yeah.
I thought that was weird too.
Yeah,
the FBI is now investigating a funeral home for allegedly running a side business selling body parts.
Gotta make that money.
The federal inquiry began several months ago, shortly after Reuters interviewed a half dozen workers who formerly worked for Hess. You know what's funny? It's actually not illegal, I was saying. I guess there's nothing against selling it for, like, medical experiments. I don't know. Something along those lines. You can't sell your own organs,
this
but I guess surprising. Someone else
is. Somebody else can.
Officials, they said their suspicions were first raised at court, like, with Al Capone, as always. Accounting discrepancies. That's how they caught it. But it was later confirmed when they saw the BOGO pancreas close out. That was what tipped them off.
That'll do
the
it.
Final.
Here's what's concerning to me. It's never concerning to me when a business-minded person fills a market. It always concerns me when I discover there's a market or something I never think there should be a market
right.
for.
Yes, exactly.
That's what concerns me.
Awesome. Yeah.
These guys, these are just...
No, there's a market for that.
Capitalists.
I guess you can't really use it.
Scientifically, yes. But other than that, like, who's buying this?
I know someone who won't be an organ... This is another question of the day, along with my first one.
Yeah.
Are you an organ donor? I know some people say they don't want to be an organ donor because they think they'll have the paddles. Like,
we tried enough. I heard that's bull crap.
Yeah, I can't imagine donor, that's true.
But... I am a donor, dang it.
What do you do? Are you?
I was looking at my
phone?
License to see if I was a donor.
Oh, that's right. You have the wallet phone.
For a while, I wasn't.
Because
you
can't be bothered carrying a wallet like a man. Iran has accused the West... of using lizards to spy on them. This comes from the Times of Israel. The former chief of staff of Iran's armed forces said Tuesday that Western spies have used lizards to attract atomic waves and spy on his country's nuclear program. The lady doth protest too much. Nothing to see here. I mean, can Iran get any more paranoid with them?
Allahu Akbar, Allah.
Put it, you only agitate it. We'll deal with it later. Kansas officials have now come out and said that guys, it's okay. Let's put on your game face. Smile for the cameras. Kansas officials say this dog can't run for governor. Yeah. This is a real story. The dog thought he was a shoo-in because there ain't nothing in a rule book disqualifying dogs from being governor. Unfortunately for him, his urine sample did. So. He's the Nick Nolte / Gary Busey of dogs.
What if he just unzipped himself to reveal Roy Moore trying again?
There were paw prints in my yearbook, and I thought it was sweet. Looking back, it wasn't sweet.
Somebody was sniffing.
Dyson. I will say this. My wife will love this story because my wife loves Dyson vacuums. Watch someone saying, are you saying? Yeah, my wife does. Actually, I vacuum, but my wife does most of the vacuuming. Namely because I force her. Dyson plans to bring a premium electric car to market by 2020. This comes from CNET. The car is initially set to feature solid-state batteries, technology in which, I guess, Dyson, they've been investing heavily. Now, if they can bring this technology to market first, it'll actually give them a huge leg up on more established competitors. I'm sure you can guess, thanks to the solid-state batteries, higher energy density, and I guess it recharges more quickly versus standard wet cells. In other news, and what some people have seen as a response, Elon Musk has announced his latest space vacuum. It's got a cup holder, too.
A cup holder.
Only cost $14 billion. Yeah, I don't... What you were saying something about the vacuum.
That doesn't make any sense in space. There's no atmosphere, right?
Beep, beep. What are you talking about? There's no atmosphere in space. They still could have something to vacuum.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's no... It can't suck anything. It has nothing to work on, right? Beep, beep.
You mean no force to work against?
Yes.
I mean, there's still pressure, but you could create like a centrifuge pressure like inside the vacuum, right?
I don't know if that's a thing.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, let's say you go down to different pressure in the ocean, right? You still can keep... relatively consistent pressure in your suit.
We're talking about space, though.
Yeah, but they would still. I mean, they would have to have some kind of a gasket. I mean, they vacuum. Don't they vacuum stuff up in the spaceship?
In the ship, yes, because they have some atmosphere in the ship.
Well, yeah,
it's artificial.
Oh, so you meant in this? Okay, that makes sense then. In the spaceship, beep beep. But outside the camp.
What were you thinking?
Yeah, he's just vacuuming.
Why would anyone vacuum anything outside a spaceship?
Well, the Photoshop looked like that, just vacuuming like the space trash.
It's a promo. It's not factually accurate. It was a magazine spread from Tesla.
Cool. He's scamming people out of their money.
I have had enough of you. Oh, sorry. Anyway, we really crossed wires there. This is off to a fantastic start.
Lord.
You know, it's funny, actually, because you were the one who really, you can't stand Elon Musk. And he made news last week. What was it, because of the launch of his, is it the SpaceX?
Yeah, I think they launched a new Falcon Heavy missile.
Okay.
February 6th.
And what happened with it? It failed, right? Because of the. Do you guys know?
I don't know.
It was a Tesla RV. It wasn't headed. What was it headed to the asteroid belt? And instead,
yes, so it was supposed to. No, the middle booster was supposed to land. That crashed, and then it was supposed to go to Mars. Beep beep. The Tesla RV.
It's supposed to go to where?
Mars.
I love that he knew to correct himself. Okay, and instead, that's right. And then instead, what happened? It went off.
It's on course to the asteroid belt. Beep beep.
Right, so it's gonna crash.
Well, that sucks.
I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not an expert.
We've crashed.
The computer has no clue.
Yeah. He just punched.
Okay, this is just a segment here. You know what? I don't know. How do you feel about Elon Musk? I think he's a dick. I know everyone loves Elon Musk. I think I'm in the minority here. It's like people were saying The Godfather is the best film ever.
Right. Yeah.
I think Chinatown was a better movie that year. I think The Godfather's fine. It's like Carol Burnett. I don't find Carol Burnett funny. I'm in this small minority. I don't like Elon Musk.
I don't find the stuff he does that cool either. We went to LA and the one guy that my Uber driver was just fawning over the new Tesla Model 3. It looks like a Ford Focus with a facelift.
I get it, but at some point, like, I love guys that throw out crazy, audacious ideas, right? So that part of it, I like.
Well, that's fine. The problem is that he uses government subsidies to fund projects that wouldn't have a leg to stand on if it weren't for billions of dollars.
Right, and that's the debate. That's the debate right there, right?
Exactly.
So engineers calling him an idiot for tunneling and stuff like that or whatever.
He might be.
Yeah. Well, he could very well be, but hey, go for it.
Well, like Tesla, that's a good example. It's the electric car, okay? It's basically a way to scam the government out of money and let celebrities, rich people, virtue signal with their electric cars. Without government subsidies, Tesla would employ. I think sales in Denmark went down about, Sven Computer can bring this up, 60% once they started phasing out the tax breaks.
Oops.
There you go, from Bloomberg. So the government with a Tesla, and I talked about this with the Prius back when I did a video at PJTV in 2009, it was still losing Toyota.
Yeah.
Money on everyone sold, and it was the most profitable hybrid vehicle at that point.
Yeah,
I think the Nissan Leaf was a similar story.
Was it?
Yeah, there's so many subsidies, and I don't think it really made the many.
Well, the story with the Prius, a lot of people don't remember. There were a lot of other hybrid cars at that point.
Yeah,
yeah.
But the Prius is the only one that was a driving guilt token.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So they wanted to drive it. There was basically like the Honda Civic Hybrid.
Yeah.
But you didn't get the street cred.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, he drives a Civic. No, it's a hybrid. Look at the rear fender. Like, oh, he drives a Prius. He must really have. He must know what's up. By the way, every single person who can't drive got together in Los Angeles and picked the Prius as their car of choice.
Which is funny about the Tesla because you get liberals praising it, but then you see one driving around, and you're like, I know the guy's in the 1%.
Yes. Let's get to that. So that's what's important because let me sort of set the stage. The government is taking taxpayer money. They're giving it to rich people as a reward for purchasing these pretentious cars. I know they're fun to drive. I've heard they're fun. $7,500 rebate. From the federal government, right, on the purchase price. And I think some states, like California, it's $2,500 or more. They can add it up to their own. By the way, like you said, do you know the average household income of a Tesla owner? Tesla Model X.
It's probably
Model X or Model 10?
Model X is the one, and then Model 3 is the one that just came out. It's a big deal, I guess. I don't know.
Okay. $503,000.
Wow.
Yeah. Where's Bernie Sanders when you need him?
They need help too, man.
Where is Bernie when you need him? That's just what I wanted. His next campaign should be, out with the Teslas!
$503 doesn't buy you as much as you think in L.A.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It does not buy you as much.
Pittance.
Namely, you're just getting stabbed and you're $503 being taken from.
Pretty much, yeah.
So then there was a Solar City project. The Solar City reportedly received, I think it's close to $500 million, $490-something million, Sven, let's bring that up, in direct grants from the Treasury Department.
Wow.
The cost of the government would be a total of somewhere around between $1 and $2 billion. I think it was $1.5 billion. I don't have it in front of me. I know Sven does. Do your job, Sven Computer, which would include Treasury grants paid to Solar City directly. SpaceX. Everyone loves to talk about SpaceX. Again, this is just me. I'm not a huge fan of the Elon Musk thing because I think it's a house of cards. If you want to talk about some guy being a brilliant, there are people who are brilliant entrepreneurs. There are people who create products and services that people want and they make their money. And then there are people who find a way to game the system. And I would say $500 million in direct government grant, you're kind of gaming the system. SpaceX, same thing. More government subsidies. About $20 million in economic development subsidies from Texas to construct the launch facility there. And then I think separate from incentives, SpaceX, they've gotten, is it something like $5.5
billion? Yeah, over $5
billion. Over $5 billion in government contracts. So that's a big thing. You never know. Some of those contracts are no bid. But contracts, these are from NASA all the way up to the Air Force. Overall, you have Musk's empire. And I get it. I'm going to get tech people who are mad at me. I'm not saying I wish the guy ill will at all. But his empire has taken in over $5 billion from the government. It's not the same as it. He didn't invent mousetrap.
Would you say government? You mean? You.
Yeah.
Were you? Yeah, well, I was going to say, and that's where the argument comes. So some of these things, I would make the argument on some of the big things that nobody else is going to do this, right? And you would probably disagree with me, right? So like on the SpaceX stuff or on the big expensive project, sometimes it has to be like going to the moon.
Look at other
government
forms of energy.
Funded, right? Well,
look at fracking.
Right, but those aren't incredibly cost prohibitive. Like something
fracking?
Like going
to
outer space.
Mind, sir? Yeah. Are you out of your tree, sir?
But you can sell it immediately. Well, he's like, going to space for a long time, not
energy.
Making any money.
Nuclear, and I guess you'll say the government, but that's because the government basically made it so they were the only ones who could do it.
Right, yeah.
And then other enterprises do it better.
But we subsidize stuff like oil right now and coal and things like that.
Yeah, we
that
do
too.
Now, but that's because it was ultimately the government's trying to hitch its wagon to something that is already profitable, that already works. The market will determine that.
Yeah.
It is profitable. There is oil. Well, contrary to what people think, it's actually possibly a very renewable resource. And we're certainly not running out of it. Remember peak oil? Remember that term, peak oil?
Yeah.
Peak oil? It's not
Wasn't
a thing.
Wasn't that supposed to already happen?
It's not a thing anymore. I don't know. I don't agree with you. I mean, think about this for a second. I think if something is useful, people will figure it out. Someone at one point looked at a pineapple on a tree and said, I can jam that in my mouth.
So I don't disagree. I'm just saying, how long would it take a lot longer? Or does that mean that it just shouldn't happen, either, right?
It doesn't take very long at all if you're a socialist such as yourself.
I'm not a socialist.
He is a socialist. But anyway, to get to the bottom of it, we actually have a scoop.
We have a scoop, and we're very blessed to
and
have
so
it.
And so I know it's not necessarily the best intro, but maybe you can clear a few things up. Here to discuss this directly is Mr. Elon Musk himself. Mr.
Ooh,
Musk, can you hear us?
Cool.
Of course, Stephen. I have the fastest internet in the world, dummy.
Well, that makes sense. So thrilled to have you here, mostly, but it wouldn't be fair of me if I didn't toss you a few hard balls off the bat. I hope you understand.
Of course, Stephen. I love hard balls.
Great. First, how would you respond to the critics who say that your company has essentially relied on government funding?
That's pretty big.
That's a common criticism, Stephen. Thing. But what people often miss is that, in fact, I made more money.
Yeah. Yeah, but you see, that's the problem. You're taking it from the taxpayer and claiming it as profit.
But I made more money, though.
No, Elon, that's not profit. It doesn't even include willing investors. That's just my money.
No, see, maybe I'm not explaining
this correctly. You're taking my money.
You see, me, Elon Musk, with all these subsidies, I made more money.
It's my money,
too. Seem.
I totally get where you're coming from, but I'm changing the world here. Like, for example, right now, wouldn't you like to explore the outer rings of Jupiter?
Wow, you know, actually, if we're being honest, that
I
would say
it,
both
yeah.
of us. Yeah, that does sound like something that
fantastic,
I might want to.
Because that project right now is in developing stages, and we are accepting contributions and funding.
Okay, I think we're done here. We're done.
Hold on, team. We're also accepting private contributions now.
Okay, and how much will that cost?
I will send you this envelope.
Right,
inside
that's
this envelope is a return envelope.
Steve,
you just place some stamps on it that you have to get yourself. And your contribution, and then you'll send it
back
to me.
Okay, that's it. Elon Musk, everybody. Not good, Jared. Please
hang
up.
This is my plasma launcher.
Faster. I don't know what I expected. Elon Musk, only thinking of numero uno. We'll be right back after this with Razor Fist and Clint Howard.
I mean, I know I gotta accept your answer, but I'm telling you right now. These people keep flagging us, I'm gonna sue somebody.
But go ahead and sue everybody. You're a tough guy, go sue people. Sue Nutkey Jared, sue Bob Ross, sue YouTube, sue me while you're at it, what do I care? You're killing yourself the way you eat. You're a fat fuck, look at you.
But I don't understand, what do you mean sue you?
Me, sue me! Start here, do me a fucking favor, you're driving me fucking crazy. You got a lawyer or something, you're a big shot. Just sue me.
But what do you mean by you though?
So? What's that mean?
No, Sven Computer, you don't even know what you meant. You mentioned YouTube, Bob Ross, and you. You included yourself with them. You could have mentioned anybody, but you put yourself in with them.
You really let these lawsuits ruin your life? They did a real job on you. You know how fucking nuts you are? Look what it did to you.
You flagged my video.
What?
You flagged my video.
How could you ask me a question like that? I'm your researcher. You ask me that? Where do you get the balls big enough to ask me that?
Just tell me.
I'm not answering it. I'm not going to answer that. Stupid.
You know, you're very smart, Sven Computer. You give me all these answers, but you're not giving me the right answer. I'm going to ask you again. Did you or did you not?
I'm not answering it. It's a sick question. You're a sick f**k, and I'm not that sick that I want you to answer it. I'm not telling you anything. I'm going to leave. So if not getting Jared calls, tell him I went home. I'm not staying in this nut house with you. You're a sick bastard. Look at you. I really feel sorry for you. You know what you should do? You should try a little more writing and a little less eating. Maybe then you'll get less insults in the comment section. You sick fuck. Maybe then you'll stop taking it out on me and everyone else. You understand, you fucking wacko? You're cracking up. Fucking screwball, you.
you'll be a bit older in the dawn when you wake, and you'll be a bit bolder.
The son of the queen, the left hand.
Where can you go?
Glad to have our next guest. I refer to him as Mr. Fist.
Mr. Fist,
but you can follow him on the Twitter at Razor Fist with a zero, right?
With a zero.
With
not
a zero.
I don't know.
And then his YouTube is it /C/ Rageaholic? Mr. Fist, do we have that right?
/C/ The Rageaholic. One
damn
word.
It! What? Why? This is. Are you trying to make it impossible for people to find you?
It's because of Susan Wojcicki-Gallifragilistic XBLidocious.
Susan Wojcicki. She's our next guest, actually, in the form of Clint Howard. So.
Fantastic.
Yeah. No, I don't. Well, you can't change. I mean, that was your decision. At some point, you chose that, and then then they wouldn't let you change it?
Yeah, I'm stuck with it. I'm screwed.
Sounds like
whatever.
Sounds like an egotistical thing. My audience. They'll find me. They'll find me.
Exactly. I prefer to let them come to me. I figured, sorry guys, I would have had more presentation going on. I figured to adequately convey the tact and lack of politicization from the left in the aftermath of yesterday's tragedy, I considered dressing like an AR-15 today.
Yeah,
then I remembered that to the left, absolutely everything is an AR-15.
Yes.
You know, so.
I think that would have been great, and you could have done like a little drive-in dance. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the gun range. Let's all go to the gun range.
This will be demonetized.
The left with AR-15s, it's like Oprah with cars. You know, you're an AR-15. AR-15. Everyone's an AR-15.
That's something I just ranted at the beginning of this because I didn't want to talk about it. Everyone's talking about it, and we've debunked Vox, we've debunked the Young Turks on the topic. We've gone specifically through the Second Amendment just for muskets. We've gone specifically through free speech, the Constitution. There is not much more to say about it. If you don't know where you line up on this issue, someone doing something mean shouldn't change it, but here we are, the same conversation again. Here's my question to you, actually. My question of the day was, do you think, should we just do the class act and just mourn those lost? Or do you think the left has just, we no longer can afford that luxury and we have to go tit for tat?
I think their playbook is getting so thin at this point. I mean, they even reused the hashtag. Did you notice that? You notice the hashtag gun control now. And of course,
was it a retread?
Yes, it was from last time, whenever the Las Vegas thing, I figure.
Oh, yeah.
But and it was, of course, co-opted immediately by 90% of the country that actually possesses a prefrontal cortex. So, you know, so they hastily switched it to the less threatening gun reform now.
Yeah, that's what I saw. Yeah, gun reform now.
Yeah, let's call abortion birth reform while we're at it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, euthanasia is just one too many.
Youth reform.
Yeah,
youth.
It's giggle gas. It really is. You know, I will say, and this sounds terrible, you just want to come out and say, you know, thoughts and prayers or whatever it is, or my condolences. That's what you want to do. But you can't. You can't, because before we even say, hey, my condolences to the and Elizabeth Warren is there being a bitch, it's right away. It's so immediate before the bodies are cold.
There's not even like a rest in peace the victims hashtag. They just jump right to gun reform, gun control, you know, whatever. And you click on any of these hashtags, and not since the human centipede have this many heads been jammed in this many asses. It's just unrelenting.
I understand. Well, obviously the physicality, they were sewn, but I get that it's allegorical. I understand. Yeah. It was a bit of a reach. It was a bit of a reach. They weren't jammed. I'm just saying, for a guy who I know is a film buff, I know you know.
I appreciate metaphors, though. I think Razor just has a whole list of metaphors. He's just checking them off.
Yeah, he's just checking them off the list.
I'm like Tinky Winky with the magic bag.
Yes, exactly. Well, you know what it is? Did you know what actually they found out is in that bag? Cocaine and dildos. It was very surprising to a lot of people. To nobody. Let me ask you this. I don't usually. Are you a firearm owner yourself? I think you've been pretty open about your position on this issue.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There's a revolver hanging up behind me, and I got a Mauser C96 sitting over there. And I'm more of an antique firearm aficionado, but...
What kind of revolver? I can't see it. What kind of revolver do you have there?
It's a 45 Ruger Blackhawk. It's a single action.
Okay. That's not really an antique, but it is a nice piece.
Oh, yeah. No, it's an old school style single action.
It was the first gun I ever shot. That was the first firearm I ever shot. Huh. I was 18 or 19 because in Canada, no things fun are allowed. And I shot a Ruger Blackhawk and I shot a Glock 19 and I much preferred the Blackhawk. It just fit my hand better. That's why I was a big revolver guy. Until the Walthers. Those were really the first sort of, they're obviously super ergonomic and they're a sponsor to the show now. But outside of those, I typically feel better with a revolver.
I love the way they contour to your hand is what I love about it. It's one of the reasons I like the Mausers. The only automatic that I have is because it kind of has a revolverish kind of grip. It's got that broom handle grip. That's why they call it the broom.
Wait, the Mauser's not an automatic, is it? No. You mean simple?
Yeah, it's the first automatic. It's a machine pistol.
But... Did you get a specific license for that? Or did you just... Yeah, is it...
No, I'm in Arizona, man.
I was going to say, did Razor Fist just confuse Colorado and auto? I was like, oh, no, Arizona? Arizona and Vermont, they don't care. Ironically enough, Vermont is the only other state with as liberal gun laws as Arizona. Is Bernie Sanders' home state.
It actually rains guns here.
Yes.
It doesn't rain anything else. No. But it rains guns.
So it is remarkable. And one thing I will say, have you noticed, like you said, their playbook's getting really tired. It used to be the gun control was the single most losing issue for the left. Mm-hmm. And then there'd be a shooting and they'd see a bump. But I don't think they're seeing the bump anymore. I think it's just like the media, because of the internet, the information is so available. The information tells the tale. Really, this is a story that is entirely factually based when you talk about gun control, and their numbers just do not add up.
For the first time, that people are almost unwillingly exposed to other ideas how gun control would actually go about.
Do you feel like that's
in the aftermath you're always going to get people bitching about a ban or whatever, which I can understand given the sweeping success of the drug ban in this country.
Opioid in the Midwest.
if the law banning drugs actually works, someone's going to need to explain to me Cher's Twitter account.
By the way, you were going to get so much hell. We never got more hate mail than Cher. Remember that one guy?
True.
We had a guy tweeting us, really? Don't you ever make fun of Cher. And he tweeted us his Cher wall. And I was like, first off, that guy's a f***. But then I was like, this guy's also disturbed. It was a wall of Cher. No joke.
Oh, man, have you read her Twitter feed lately? I'm pretty sure Cher is made of Xanax at this point. It's like hieroglyphs and emoticons. That's all she's down to now.
Yeah.
She's going to be down to hand signals pretty soon here.
Yeah, exactly. She would Morse, but she can't because of the Botox when you blink. She's like in Get Out. She's in the back of her brain and someone has hijacked her body.
Yeah.
Well,
I think it's half the messaging. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I was going to say something completely useless.
No, okay. I was going to say, I think it's half the messaging and half it's like they just bowl me over with the people that make the point guard for these issues.
Right.
It's like, and now to make the case for comprehensive gun control, Barbara Boxer holding a shotgun from the wrong end.
It's like a bad infomercial like ShamWow. I don't even know it. How do I do it? Yeah.
Yeah, so long as you're screwing it up already, Babs, try holding it with your mouth. But anyway, no. It goes back to Obamacare or whatever. Then when they reanimated Pelosi to sell Obamacare. Like, does anybody take a look at that briar of mangled flesh she calls a face and think, give me that medical care. Like, get on that now.
Yes. She is a product of the product. It's just like a person. Yeah. She walks in and you go, okay, you know what? She seems to have her stuff together. I've always maintained, and I remember I got a lot of flack. I've said Nancy Pelosi, I think, is the worst human being in American politics ever, far worse than Hillary Clinton. Because at the time, everyone's saying, no, Hillary Clinton. I'm going, I get that she's running for national office, so she's of more consequence. As far as just the worst human being in American politics ever, in the history of it, I can't think of anyone worse than Nancy Pelosi.
She won't go away. It's like she just finds a new way to stick her nose in
it. She's been around since forever, too. She's not just a modern politician. She's been around since the 70s. She was part of that whole the California cabal during the Jonestown stuff and the Jim Jones suicide and all that, the Jerry Brown. She's part of that whole kind of milieu or whatever.
Well, she just keeps...
But,
I think she probably died a long time ago. There's somebody with a 3D printer just manufacturing more Nancy Pelosi's.
The same guy who did Larry King. She's like the Tupac hologram. I think with Nancy Pelosi, she's emblematic of the Democratic Party, where, if you like you said, she's been around so long, so it's actually a great timeline. She just any new further left position she takes. If you go back, she'd be like, "How dare you compare gay marriage to transsexuals and bathrooms?" And now it's like, "Well, of course we have to have transsexuals in bathrooms." If you were to go back, how dare you compare the idea of Plan B to a 20-week abortion? Then you go fast forward 10 years. Well, of course we need to have 26-week abortions. So it's just no matter what it is, they've got to take the furthest left view that's even on the table. That's what the DNC is, and Nancy Pelosi has done it every single time without fail. Do you think with the gun control issue it could be leading to an implosion, or do you think?
Well, that's the thing. Look at California. You talk about Nancy Pelosi. Who does she represent? The San Francisco area. I mean, that's what gets me. What do they consider comprehensive gun reform? Like California with magazine restrictions. Like, oh, what do you mean? Every time I say California's basically banned guns, someone's like, what do you mean we've basically banned guns? You can own a handgun as long as it only holds two rounds and fires confetti and white flags. Like, okay, thanks, California. I stand corrected. Please move to my state and ruin it. But
by all means, sir. No, you have to. I tried to get my brother a gun in California. So this is a true story. I tried to give him one of my SIG P938. Now, the reason was because Dean Cain has a SIG P238. For people who don't know, that's the 380 equivalent. Exact same gun. This is a 9mm. Couldn't send him any Walthers.
No.
Walthers are not available in California except for the .22. So I found out the best way. They said, we can do this and deliver it to his LLC. Turns out the SIG P938 isn't available. And it's just a time thing. It's the exact same gun, has the same kind of internal safety mechanisms. It is a different caliber, but that's not why. It's basically after a certain point in California, you cannot get a firearm on the approved list, so people have just stopped trying. So there you go. You're just going to be, I mean, if ever there's a civil war, California is going to have guns that are outdated by about 20 years. We take them first and then move our way into, you know, Nevada, Arizona.
Yeah, thanks. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
What are the rules over there now? You can only think about guns 3 times a week, or like what is going on over there in California?
Yeah, exactly. It's like what's like to think.
The main thing is the magazine restrictions, though. It's just, I mean, it wouldn't even be that they have outdated firearms. It'd be that they're done after 2 shots.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You know what it is? It's 10 rounds. And what's funny is, you remember this? Remember I bought when we were in Michigan the CZ-75.
Yeah.
So I bought a CZ-75. Funnily enough, I got the only CZ-75 in the world that was unreliable because they're great guns. And when I bought it, it had all the California magazines. Now, let me tell you, it's the exact same firearm, only there's a dimple underneath it. So the firearm would typically fit 15 plus one. Now it only fits, I think, 9 plus one. And I was sitting there going, by the way, it came with like 6. So I'm going, oh, my, you know, okay, hold on a second. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Button. Who could possibly figure this out? I mean, it is so silly. It is just, it defies logic completely. And I know people say that a lot. It's like, it's become a meme. Like, if you're a liberal, you're a special kind of stupid with Sam Elliott. And I hate that because this is one of those issues where it really defies logic.
That's why they're losing so bad on it, too.
Yeah.
And then they say trite, you know, homilies like, oh, but it's easier to buy a gun than it is to vote. It's like, didn't you hear? Like, what?
I don't need an ID. I don't even need an ID to vote, and I need an ID to get an ID to purchase a firearm.
Yeah, I'm like, I'll believe that when I can hand a poll worker my ID without them giving me a look like I just force-fed them a bottled fart. You know what I mean? Like, we used to require ID in the state. Now they would literally be like, no, get that out of my face.
I know. I had that when I went to vote. I said, ID. Like, nope, don't show it to me. Don't show it to me. Don't show it to me. It doesn't exist if I don't see it.
I was thinking about this yesterday, though. I mean, if you would have given the same psychopath kid a bunch of revolvers, it would have been almost exact same scenario.
Give him my lever action 357. That thing fits 13 rounds in there. 357 coming out of an 18-inch barrel. You have any idea how much damage that can do? Give them the 10-round capacity. That's the thing. Ultimately, it comes down to they want to ban guns. They know that a 10-round magazine that can be swapped out just as quickly isn't going to be the difference between lives saved or lost. They have to.
Or an AR-15 versus a Glock 19.
Yeah.
Damage isn't that different. Of course, they're already, have you seen, they're already riding the Trump overturned the mental illness ban BS. Like, what?
Right.
Oh, you mean the weaker version of the Florida law that already didn't catch that kid?
Right.
That one? I mean, sure, the state of Florida refuses sale to, like, anyone with a history of mental illness, but if we could have just put this kid in an FBI database that literally gets used for absolutely nothing, this entire tragedy might have been averted.
It's a database like the ISIS kill list. When I had the FBI, we were talking about it, they said, nah, but they said, don't worry about the ISIS kill list. Pretty much everyone's on the ISIS kill list. Have you ever said ISIS sucks? You're on the ISIS kill list. That's pretty much the FBI watch list as it relates to gun owners. All right, we have to go, Mr. Fist. That is Razor Fist with a zero on YouTube, because Susan Wojcicki hates you, /C/TheRageaholic. Anything coming up people should be looking for?
Yeah, I'm going to be streaming this Friday. That's what I'm going to be doing.
Streaming this Friday. Okay, and then we have we have Owen Benjamin, I believe, at some point. We have Susan Wojcicki Ness.
Wojcicki, coming up.
Clint Howard. What are you doing? I don't think we made shirts that big.
Oh yeah, now we sell 3X and 4X for burly men.
Or women.
Yeah, right. So who is like the person you want to see in these like the most, but the least likely to put one on?
You mean like on three?
Yeah, three, ready?
All right. Three, two, one.
Michael Moore.
Schlatter with CrowderShop.com. Shirts are now available in 3X and 4XL for the burly man in you. And fat fucks.
Buddy ran away. Things will get better. Orphanage ain't lit. Came mother. Orphanage ain't lit. Buddy ran away. Father was a guy to make a dead.
What was this? This was Little Bunny Foo Foo. I don't know. I remember
that was Little Bunny
Sherry from Lamb Chop.
This is just
do
the
this.
Stick figure.
What was it?
Raping the garden.
Grabbing all the field mice and bopping them on the head. You're like, my God, that's a violent.
He's such a jerk.
Funny. You know what? Before we bring our next guest, I was just watching White Fang with my wife the other night. I really liked it. And then last night we watched Billy Elliot. I'm not going to lie, I cried. That's one that always really, really touches me. But we watched White Fang. And you realize you care about the wolf. He becomes friends with the wolf.
Yeah.
But the wolf is killing mice and rats. And the wolf, like, goes after this bear. So we're supposed to hate bears and mice. But then Ratatouille comes out. And you're supposed to care about the mouse. And then Big Bear. And you're supposed to care about... You just realize that Disney makes whichever animals in that film is who you should care about and screw everybody else until the next franchise comes out. I just wanted to go out
what
and
to do with my life
kill
now.
All bears. Hey, speaking of Hollywood and Disney, our next guest, probably the biggest... definitely the longest resume of anyone on this show.
I think so.
Not even close. Even if when we get George W. Bush on this show. Clint Howard, how are you, sir?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. And I like the new dance, the added move. I'll tell you what, you're bringing nuance to that that's really spectacular.
Yes, I appreciate
it. It's about the motivation.
Yes, it's all about the motivation. Hey, have you ever had a method to acting? Because, you know, I've acted for a long time. We just did this Raging Bull parody here. And so for me, for impressions, I've had kind of a method that I've developed myself. But as far as when I would just go in and do films, remember there was a Chubbuck theory was really big for a while. Your scene motivation, your overall.
Wait, time out. Chubby what?
Yeah, the Chubbuck theory was really big. It was Halle Berry and Eva Mendes. I don't know, Clint. You're supposed to know.
No. I know. I mean, that somebody's picked a method.
Yeah. It was named after her, this person. Ivana Chubbuck, I think.
Well, I don't know. I imagine being Mrs. Chubbuck.
Probably a tough life, unless you have people do your. But what about you? When you would act, you get a role. What do you do for that? How do you prepare for it? Is it just very organic, or are you? Do you have a specific method?
Well, wait. It's got to be organic, and there are technical aspects of being an actor that you have to kind of follow and know what you can and can't do physically. But my dad, who, you know, we just had his memorial just this past weekend, and Rance Howard, and he was my mentor and my sage, and he taught me acting in just, you know, there's only about five things you really need to know.
Okay.
And one is you need to listen to the other actors.
Yep.
And listen to everything that's going on. You need to have a motivation. You need to know where you're going and where you've been.
There you go.
Literally.
Sven,
physically.
Remember Nakajira? I was telling Sven that the other day. We were getting him to act, playing Joe Pesci, and I said, think of where you're ending up and then kind of follow through to that because he's getting caught with the words. A lot of first timers, that's what they do.
When you walk into a room, into a situation, you have an intention.
Right.
It might be mindless or it might be a goof, but you have intentions. So it's just a matter of Dad explained to both Ron and I, you know, you have to understand where your character has been. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean in a esoteric way, literally.
Right.
You know, it was like when I was little, it was I just in school? Was I just playing with, you know, whatever? It's just so that is mission critical. Also, simply enough, be there early.
Right.
And be prepared. The last time I checked, they call it professionalism.
Right.
You know, it's just a matter of, you know, there's an expectation of employment, and that is giving them a fair day's work for your pay.
Speaking of professional, do you have your TV on? Is that what I'm hearing?
No.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
It's just the
NSA. That is a.
No, those guys. Yeah, no, they're cool.
Yeah, they're cool. Well, tell me this. You know, because I never want to be exploitative at all. But you mentioned you wanted to talk about it. Your father's memorial. You know, if I can say off air, you said, you know, you were kind of you weren't dealing with it necessarily in the best way. Your father's passing, which. It caught me off guard because we spent a lot of time with you and everyone here really got to know you and really felt like, I mean, everyone here really got to know you is to love you. Said like, wow, I mean, you're quirky. Don't get me wrong. But you were incredibly lucid and very positive. So it's surprising to me. I'm sorry to hear that it's been so tough. I hope you're doing well. And I know you just had the memorial.
My mom died about, 18 years ago. And it was the first time I'd been around anybody who passed that I kind of had any relationship with at all.
Right.
And then I didn't do that well. I felt bad. I didn't grieve. I don't think I grieved in a healthy way. It took me a long time to grieve. And, you know, and then both Ron and I have talked about this. And Dad dying, I was here. I found him when he had fell ill and was taken to the emergency room. And so, you know, I didn't do that well. I didn't blow it. I didn't, you know, go to jail or I didn't cause any trouble. I just felt like I should have been either a little more on top of it or a little more together. And, you know, just before Dad died and I knew he was going to pass, it was just I had said my goodbyes. And it popped into my head. He goes, you know, Clint, I don't do dying parents well. I didn't have great last bedside conversations with my dad or my mom.
Right.
I've had wonderful experiences with my parents, and I've got experiences that I will cherish with me. It's just at the end, it wasn't really pleasant,
right.
You know, and I don't like seeing somebody laying in a hospital bed in a living room dying or dead.
Let me say, if it means anything, you seem to be handling yourself incredibly well, of course, with your significant other. I won't name names or anything. I know you keep your private life private, but she was lovely, and you were both out here as a couple, and we really enjoyed our time with you. And if there's ever anything we can do, and I mean, I know you know we mean that. You talk with our booker, Darren, my dad, all the time. As a matter of fact, I have semi-nude pictures of you, which you've sent to him. Keep doing that. Next time, make them fully nude.
Yeah.
Please.
You don't want to. I was actually thinking about one of those men's undergarments that are, they rhyme. It's kind of a sock, you know, thing.
Yes. Yeah.
I thought about sort of finishing the bit today with that sort of action.
Well.
With the customized, in fact, actually one note of kind of sadness was on Christmas. My girlfriend gave me this sock, underwear, and I just
interpretation of hanging the stocking by chimney with care, but
yeah, it wasn't a very big stocking. No, I had the great moment with her, and it was fun. And I literally reached for my phone to call my dad.
Oh.
Because the first guy I got to tell that I got one of these is my pop, because he would have gotten a huge kick out of it. And it wasn't so much that I thought about it, is I literally felt myself reaching for my phone.
Right.
And, you know, I don't beat myself up over that. It's just, you know, it's all something that most of us have to go through.
Well, I don't think you should beat yourself up over any of it. You know, it's funny. I beat myself. We're not even talking politics or any of this right now. But since we got into this territory, I was talking with Johnny Boy from Canada, our new manager here, the other day about this. The first person I ever had who died close to me was my grandfather. And he was just, I mean, just an incredible guy. I always talk about this. He was poor. He was effectively a glorified super. But the guy who owned the buildings, Mr. Mongeau, was a millionaire, which in Montreal is unheard of. And he was the exact same size as my grandfather. So he would give him his suits. So my grandfather would be smoking his Black and Mild cigarillos, the little wooden-tipped cigarillos, in a three-piece suit, always, with rubber boots, mind you, over his nice shoes, elbow deep in crap, cleaning toilets, to the day he died, carrying in a three-piece suit Clark Gable stash Brill Cream. He had several bottles of Brill Cream in his cabinet, hair slicked back. I mean, it was just an incredible character. Was very, when people say like a second father, he lived two apartment buildings down. So it was less than 50 feet away. And I remember when he
passed,
It was very sudden. I was the last person he spoke with. It was at Prairieville Elementary School. We used to do a ski trip the very last day before Christmas. So it was December 18th, I believe. And I remember waiting at school, and he was always the one to come pick me up. My parents were gone. My mom was working downtown. She was a costume designer, and there was some kind of maybe festival going on. And I remember waiting for my grandfather. He didn't come. I said, okay. They said he's caught up doing something, which was odd because he would always be there. And then they told me, your cousin France is coming, and she was just like, she was the drunk, you know, like cousin who you just like clearly scraping the bottom of the barrel. So when I was staying there, I thought something was up. And what happened was, I not only did I not handle that well, but I felt guilty about this for years, Clint. You know, I was a teenager, so at this point I was 12, and I didn't spend a lot of time with my grandma after that. And it was because as a kid, every time I looked at her, spent time with her, it reminded me of him. And when she got sick and she was in the hospital, I regretted for years not really visiting. I it's no excuse. I was wrong, but I wasn't able to process it. I just couldn't stand, almost couldn't, it sounds weird, almost couldn't stand the sight of my grandma because it reminded me of that. And it was blinding pain as a kid. So I don't blame you at all. It's people react in different ways.
Well, yeah, and it is such an unusual thing in one's life to all of a sudden have somebody that you were close to and you looked up to and admired and just a friend, you know. It's for them to be gone. It's just like you said, processing. And all I said, you know, I just don't do it well, and that's okay. There are things in my life I do well, and you know.
Like playing Susan Wojcicki, CEO of YouTube. You did.
Yeah, that was just like butter. Painting with a fine brush is my preference.
Yes, exactly. You did it with a plum.
And I'll tell you, having seen it, and it's really good. And it's funny, and you're good. And I don't know, people might think that, you know, like I immediately saw the thing and I get a copy of it. No. Finally, I was able to look at it all. And when we were working together, you were explaining things to me that I was a little dense about. And I
was explaining to myself at the same time, going, does this make sense? What? That makes sense, right? I think it makes sense.
The wonderful thing about you, Stephen, is that you had a plan. And I could tell that you weren't just wildly aiming, you know, and firing in the dark, that you sort of had a design for this thing, which is what kind of a writer does. And anybody who does as much talking as you do is a writer. And
there was you and you were always such a dick. That was all Clint. That was all Clint, and it was good.
All throwaways too. Remember, it was sometimes that's the nuggets is when
sometimes
the last thing you're just saying stuff that's almost random.
Here's what I get some satisfaction out of: Susan Wojcicki, CEO of YouTube, who is as far left as they get, trying to do the social engineering, knows that you played her in this, and it has an IMDb profile. So if ever she gets our channel removed and this is never seen again, at least we got that on her. I know. Before we go, you mentioned something about Johnny Depp with the memorial. You had a story.
Well, you know, a couple of dads better roles or bigger roles or memorable roles were with Johnny Depp. And I know Johnny, knew Johnny a long time ago through Charlie Sheen. We'd worked together doing a short film that Charlie directed. And Johnny heard, Johnny and Tim Burton heard about Dad dying. And Johnny contacted, in fact, well, John has the same agent that Ron has. So let it be known that he, you know, he can't go, but he wants to send a clip.
Right.
And, you know, it was really cool that, you know, he brought back the memories of Ed Wood, because that was the dad did a great turn in Ed Wood when he's, you know, he's the investor in the movie. And he right, says, right. I've got a son. He's a little slow, but something tells me he's going to be a big time star, or leading man.
Right.
And it just killed. And Johnny's expression was great. And, you know, it's. He's got the ability to do it at his house, and he did it wherever he's living in France or something. And it was just nice. And he talked a little bit about him and I working together, and it was as eccentric and as off as you can imagine with Charlie Sheen, Johnny Depp, and me.
I can imagine. Yeah. Hopefully the NSA is not spying in on that one, because I can imagine some tapes being liability. You got Charlie Sheen, Johnny Depp, and Clint Howard, and a pile.
They give stuff like that big thumbs up.
Yeah, exactly. They couldn't care less. They're good with it. All right, listen, Mr. Were you going to say something there? Because we do have to get going. This is we got more so philosophical.
I know. Why do you rag on the NSA?
It's fun.
Okay. Do you rag on China's NSA?
Well, no, because that's pretty much just Jackie Chan threatening you if you don't support the Communist Party and then making millions of dollars in American films. I'm done with Jackie Chan, by the way. I don't know if you ever worked with him, but have you seen this? He's actually done PSAs for Chinese communist propaganda. He's actually done it. Yeah, I know. I swear to you, just YouTube after this, Jackie Chan PSA. Yeah, that's not a joke.
Okay.
All right. On that note, we have to go. Clint Howard, we have to have you back. Thank you so much for being here and taking the time. Hold on. Give us a dance. Give us a dance.
Where were you?
Huh? It's at your house.
What'd you go after?
Studio.
Yeah, what'd you do over there?
I changed my mind video.
How come you didn't tell me about the hard strike, huh?
Dude, what about it?
How come you didn't tell me about the hard strike, huh?
Nothing to know about it.
How come you didn't tell me about the hard strike?
Get off me, you dead pig!
You flag my video, huh?
No!
Huh?
Channel, what we gonna do about nothing but a selfish fat pig, selfish doofag. Ah! No! No! Let me drink it from Mother Mox too!
If I see you put your hands in the plate one more time, I'm gonna stab you with this knife, you hear me? I told you already, keep your hands off the plate! Oh fuck!
Huh? Huh? You flag my video, huh? You flag my video, huh? Motherfucker, you flag my video, huh?
Get off my video! Get off my video!
Huh?
Yeah. Film! Get out!
Just don't make eye contact. That's what he wants. Great show.
Good show.
Great show. Razor Fist and, of course, Clint Howard. We're going to have another Change My Mind coming up. I'll be taping one tomorrow.
Is it the first of the year?
It's the first of the year.
First one of the year.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying we haven't really been doing any big on location videos because we did have to do a test run of the big show at Virginia Tech. By the way, some upcoming shows. We're going to see how many we're going to do of them, but SMU, Illinois, Alabama, a few others, Liberty University. We don't know exactly when. I think they start March 22nd. We're going to rattle off a few live shows, so stay tuned. Awesome. And it came off of something else I was talking about. Oh, we haven't done it yet. So we'll do a Change My Mind. We're going to tape a bunch of them tomorrow.
It's going to be great.
At university, but I'm not going to tell them. We don't let people know. They say, why don't you let me know you were in my – because I don't want people to know. I don't want to stack the deck against someone. I want to actually have a conversation. I might even need to just put on a Groucho Marx kind of –
Yeah, tweet us too. Tweet us what the topics you want to be covered in future Change My Mind.
By the way, speaking of tweets, you are correct. Pineapples do not grow on trees.
They do not grow on trees.
It's almost as though I'm from Canada and I've never seen
them. It's almost.
Yeah, coconuts. I've seen coconuts when we went to Hawaii.
Yeah, those are dangerous if they fall on people. Yeah.
That's relevant. Whereas in Canada, same thing. We have the same problem with icicles. There's an icicle. Ralphie, they've been known to kill people. So I correct myself. I guess they grow toward the ground.
Have you seen jackfruit? Those things are viciously huge and spiky. Those do grow on trees. They look like pineapples.
They're called jackfruits?
I think called jackfruits. Or maybe I'm thinking of durian. But anyway, they are spiky little bastards that fall and kill people.
I am not too big of a man to correct myself.
Maybe
I had no idea.
I had no idea
where pineapples came from. I didn't realize there was a big difference between high bush blueberries and low bush blueberries, like wild blueberries. So some of them are really, really thin, which I get not thin. They're really just small in diameter. And so they're way more antioxidant rich. The wild blueberries, a lot more fiber because the skin is like thicker. It's basically all skin. They're not as watery, so when you eat them, they're more sour, but they're better for you.
I was a grown-ass man before I realized there's a difference between regular grapes and Concord grapes. I was always confused where they got the grape Welch's juice flavor, and I was disappointed that it did not taste like the grapes they were feeding me.
Yeah, that's
and it had a Concord grape.
See, I don't feel so bad about not knowing about pineapples.
I know.
What did you think a Concord grape was? What do you think Concord grape juice came from?
I didn't know what a Concord grape was. I just thought it was just a I don't know.
You just thought Welch's, and then they're adding
I don't know what I was thinking. Acidity?
That doesn't make any sense at all.
My brain wasn't working.
Saskatoon berries. You ever had a Saskatoon berry?
No.
They only grow them in Saskatchewan and now in Michigan. And it tastes like a middle ground between a blueberry and an almond. Funny thing about Hopper. Hopper hates blueberries, loves Saskatoon berries.
If our audience doesn't know, we're actually pitching the show to the Food Network.
Yes, we're pitching the show to the Food Network. It's going to be Guy Fieri. How about Saskatoon berries and vodka? So,
Everyone, take the titties!
His own. So, listen. Let me say, I know it was rare. I dropped an F-bomb at the beginning. Listen, I don't like doing that on the show, and we had the censor button ready, thank God. But it's not the way we want to do the show, but let me tell you something. Yeah, I was pissed. And I tried to express myself in more than only a few words, unlike the Young Turks, where every word is the F-word. And if you hear bleeps in the show, it's usually
limited vocabulary.
Yeah, very limited vocabulary. And by the way, it doesn't punctuate a sentence.
No.
That's why people are tweeting. That's why people are sending a message like, oh, Crowder must be met, because it's not every other word.
Sure.
When someone who speaks that way, every single other word, as you have with Anna Kasparian or Cenk, it ceases to mean something. And here's something we talk about a lot. You know, as Christians, obviously, people talk about bad language. Well, there's obviously this idea of the Lord's name in vain. But bad language is really, you know, Sven swears in German, and no one really considers it bad language. I swear in French all the time, and you guys just laugh.
I usually giggle.
Right? We usually giggle. Bad words really only have the power that you ascribe to them. That's the truth with most words. And that's kind of something we've talked about a lot. Words are very, very powerful. Words are a very powerful tool, but they can also be stripped of their power pretty easily. It's kind of like Freddy Krueger. Mm. You're just not afraid of him. He can't kill you. Now, I'm not making an excuse for using a bad word because I'm sure people out there, especially if you have kids listening, I apologize, might be offended. But what's funny to me is when, and this would always happen in churches a lot. I remember the sort of litmus test they would use is naughty words, but not naughty actions. So you'd have people who you'd never hear anything bad from. You'd have people who you would never say anything that could be offensive, but they were cheating on their wives. Now, I'm not saying it's either or. Or they were gossiping. Because it's something really obvious. It's pretty obvious. It's pretty easy to fake when you're out in public and speak nicely. It's pretty easy to pull an Eddie Haskell. You know what's not easy? To fake good ideas. If I were to say what offends me, and I'm not really offended, but if I would say what offends me intellectually far more than someone saying a naughty word are ideas that fly in the face of basic human rights. Mm. How about that? Bring it back to that. You know, I didn't want to talk about it too much with our guests. We kind of talked about it with Razor Fist. But this idea now that you're seeing of disarming a populace, we've seen what has happened throughout history. We've seen what has happened when you strip people of their basic rights. And by the way, they're all intertwined. This is what I find funny. When the left tries to say, well, look at the trans bathroom. It's just like the civil rights era. It's just like being segregated fountains. Really? First off, I don't think using a urinal, or not using a urinal, I guess, going in a little girl's room when you're a man, haven't even transitioned, you put on a wig and a dress, I don't really think necessarily even your preference of friction is the same as not being allowed to sit on the bus. I don't think it's comparable. Let me tell you what I do think is comparable. What offends me intellectually with ideas is disarming a populace, is putting a magazine capacity ban, making sure people can't purchase semi-automatic weapons, a buyback that's mandatory that you never tell people about. I do think that's comparable to the evil regimes of days past. Matter of fact, I think it's something they did directly. So you can be mad that I told you to go, button, that I told you to go f*** yourself earlier, but you know what? That's what you repeatedly do. And that's what repeatedly happens to anyone who pays attention to what's happening politically these days. It is a constant assault of not just bad ideas. We talk about good ideas, we talk about bad ideas. There are good ideas, and there are evil ideas. And taking away the ability for someone to protect themselves, for someone to defend life and limb. Here's the thing. People say, well, this person did something horrible. Horrible, heinous shooting. No one is excusing it. Same thing with Las Vegas. No one is excusing it. Of course, that's an act of evil. But you don't answer an act of evil with an act of even greater evil. They say, well, you don't know. What if this person is disturbed? We can't let people go out. We can't let people have guns because we don't know every situation. We don't know who they are. No, no, no. I say, hold on a second. You can't bar people from defending themselves because you don't know everyone in every situation. It can go both ways. We don't know. What if they take the gun and hurt somebody? What if somebody needs a gun because they have a restraining order on a crazy person who already raped them? And we saw that happen in New Jersey. What if somebody needs a gun because they're living in a bad area of town and they're traveling across town going to school trying to make something of themselves and so they need to protect themselves at home? Maybe that's something you might want to take into account. What if there's a mother whose father died overseas and she needs to protect her family right now while she gets back on her feet? Maybe she needs a gun because the only chance she has is being more powerful than a man, and it's a mechanical advantage, not a physical one, despite the bullshit Krav Maga class you taught her at the YMCA or WMCA. I have no idea anymore. The point is, when you say, we don't know, we don't know every circumstance. We agree. Here we go. Boom. Common ground. We agree. We can't know everyone's reasoning for purchasing a gun. Absolutely. So, let's strip people of their God-given right to protect themselves. No. That's where we diverge. And that's all this conversation is about. You'll hear, and if there's a 24-hour news cycle, we were able to get through this show and get you everything you need. You want to know what you need to know? It's really simple. Decide this for yourself. Do you have the basic right to self-preservation? Do you believe that you have the God-given human right to self-preservation? We talk about civil rights. We talk about human rights. I want to get married. That's not a human right. No one has a birthright of getting married. You have to find someone who's willing to marry you first. I want to use the bathroom. You don't have the right to use anyone else's private bathroom. They can deny service at Starbucks, but now they can't do it if you've got a swinging donator going into a ladies' room. Oh, but I want... No, listen. Rights are freedom of speech. Do you believe that you have the right to protect that speech? Do you believe that you have the right to protect yourself, your family, and your home? Guess what? In 2018, that includes the right to a gun. Period. Do you believe you have the right to protect yourself? Yes? Then shut off the news because there's nothing there that is of value to you. And if you're going to be mad about my words, there's people, can I look at it? You know what? I'm mad that you want to kill people. Over up to 3 million lives saved each year. By the way, that's from guns being used proactively. That doesn't necessarily include the number of people who simply brandish a gun and it saves their life. But you know what? One of our worldviews doesn't require us to know every single individual circumstance. One of our worldviews, mine, only requires that I understand I could never possibly know every individual circumstance. And so when you accept that, you accept that there's evil, and you give people who want to mess it up the tools to do so. So shut off the 24-hour cable news cycle. I don't care who's talking on a panel, the great Canadian panel, the great American panel, or the great Swiss panel, who's given us nothing and given up a whole long time ago. I just recapped the issue for you. There you go. Uncle Steven looking out for you. Go, go. You have something to protect? You have the right to protect yourself and your family. Go spend time with your family. Go enjoy it. And stop listening to the bullcrap. I'll see you next week. It only